Okay, we know, you know, living in Hawaii means living with higher costs. That's only one measure of making a living in Hawaii. Once again, the personal finance website MoneyRates.com has ranked states from best to worst using criteria beyond just cost of living. Other benchmarks include workplace safety, state tax burdens, median wages, and unemployment rates. We won't keep you in suspense any longer. For a seventh year in a row, Hawaii came in dead last. We called MoneyRates.com's spokesperson Richard Barrington, and we talked about the reasons why Hawaii has done so poorly again.
Well, the real handicap that Hawaii has to overcome is its extraordinarily high cost of living. The good news is that wages in Hawaii are relatively high. The median income is $40,000 or $40,030, and this is nearly 10% higher than the typical state's median income. That's the good news. The bad news is that the cost of living in Hawaii is more than 60% higher than the national average, and that's a natural side effect of an island economy. So many things have to be imported over a great distance, and the labor pool is more constrained than in other parts of the country where employers can draw freely from neighboring states. But anyway, when you compare wages with the cost of living, you have an average wage that's 10% above the norm, but that doesn't come close to compensating for costs that are more than 60% above normal.
For
compounding the problem is that for a median wage earner, Hawaii's state income tax burden is the third highest in the nation. This takes another 6.4% off the purchasing power of a Hawaiian wage earner. So when you combine the effects of the high cost of living and the heavy tax burden, for every dollar a median wage earner makes in Hawaii, he or she only gets 56 cents worth of purchasing power. So that's the obstacle that Hawaii has long struggled to overcome.
For those of us who live and work here, this is the reality of our lives. After having done this now for 7 years, charting every state, do you have any idea how this might be better the next time you look at it, given the fact that, you know, past is prologue and we really haven't seen a whole lot of movement in the last 7 years?
Yes. If there is a light at the end of the tunnel, it's the possibility that workers in Hawaii may see stronger wage gains going forward, and that would better compensate for that high cost of living. And the reason why I say that they might see better wage gains is that back in 2011, when we first did this study, the unemployment rate in Hawaii was 6.4%, which, believe it or not, at the time was good enough for seventh lowest in the nation. Now, today, that unemployment rate is just 2.7%, and that's the second lowest in the nation. So Hawaii's unemployment rate has gone down in absolute terms from 6.4% to 2.7%, and also it's improved relative to other states, from seventh best to second best. Now, if you've ever done any hiring, you know that 2.7% of the labor pool are pretty much unemployable. In other words, once the unemployment rate gets down that low, employers have dipped about as deeply into the labor pool as they can possibly go, and they're going to have to start offering higher wages to recruit capable workers. In time, this should better compensate for the island's high cost of living.
When you talk about only the U3 number, which is the one that you just gave, the 2.7%, we also look at the U6 number, which is more like 7.1%, those people who are underemployed or who have simply dropped out because they haven't been able to find something that meets their needs. We're also told that employers are poaching, and that's how they're able to fill some of their higher needs, and also that they can't fill some of the jobs that go wanting now. And yet we haven't seen a wage increase that would be meaningful enough to attract workers. That seems to be in a little bit in opposition to what you're saying now, at least for the short term.
So the two of the trends that you talked about, the poaching and the fact that there are vacancies going unfilled, both of those would argue for the fact that employers are getting and will have to get more aggressive about salaries and benefits that they offer workers in order to attract people to fill the slots that need to be filled. So this would argue higher wage gains going forward than 7 years ago, when there was certainly a lot more slack in the employment market.
When we've talked to the Chamber of Commerce about many of their members, what the Chamber has come back with is, you know, our members are offering as competitive salaries as they can, and this is the best that they're able to do. And yet, very clearly, that's not helping a lot of workers who are dealing with just the circumstances that you talked about a little earlier. What do you think is going to have to happen to push that needle further if pretty much of many of the employers are happy with the status quo, even though they know that they are going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul to get people into their firms?
Well, that's the thing, is that it's always going to be a cost-benefit decision for a business owner. And for a long time, there has been a lot of slack in the employment market, and so employers in many cases have gotten away with, offering substandard wage increases, low wage increases. However, as they see vacancies start to cost them business because their businesses are no longer able to run to full capacity, they're going to have to make decisions. A decision that basically comes down to this: do I give up a little bit more of my profit margin to my employees, or do I forego those profits altogether because I don't have enough staff to do that piece of business? And so a rational business person under these conditions would offer the employees a little more. And so I think the point of me contrasting now with 2011 is to say that dynamic has definitely shifted more in a direction that should help workers going forward. It's understandable why it's been wage gains have been meager over the past few years, but that dynamic has changed, and I think you should see better wage gains going forward.
A lot of workers are going to hope you're right, Richard. Thanks very much for the time.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Richard Barrington is a chartered financial analyst and the primary spokesperson for the personal finance website, MoneyRates.com.